In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, in the Orthodox Church, Christ tells us that the eye is the lamp of the body, and goes on to give what is relatively a simple and straightforward explanation of what that means. The logic is relatively straightforward. What you see and attend to will impact you, who you are as a person. Generally, we think of this in terms of what we see, what we consume through our actual eyeballs. So look at good things, don't look at bad things, and we'll be good. And that's true. But we don't end it there. Although I have heard, 40-minute sermons on essentially what I just said in 10 seconds. No, there's so much more to it than that, which is indicated by the rest of the passage. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the passage goes on. So this has to do with so much more than just physically looking at things. Although, like I said, that's the beginning. It has to do with our inner eyes, our mind, or our intellect, the thing that directs us to look at things, whether it's mental things or physical things. And we know it has this deeper connotation because of Christ's words. He will be devoted to the one and despise the other. So here is this deeper level. It's not just looking at things, but paying attention to things, or to give it a Christian bent, devoting ourselves to certain things. And then you can take it a step back from that to not just what we think about, but thinking about what we are going to think about, right? What do we intend to think about? There's a great big word for this today called metacognition, but the concept is very old and ingrained in the life of a Christian. What do I intend to attend to today? Or better said, what do I intend to devote myself to today? We humans are terrible at multitasking. Research into multitasking tells us that it is actually an impossible skill. What we think of as multitasking is actually our brain rapidly shifting between two different things. That this action actually causes mental fatigue and a downturn in efficiency. How does this relate? Well, I would say we shouldn't try and multitask with our spiritual life. There can't be a church me and an earthly me. There can't be the me that I pull out on Sundays and the me that I put away after I leave 3350 12th Avenue, this address, right? We need to really think about ourselves. How many lives are we living and why? Is the life I live among my coworkers the same life I live among my family? And is this the same life that I live among my congregation? Why do we divide ourselves up? Why do we have our Christian selves and our secular selves? Why do we have our quiet, humble self here at church in front of the priest and the congregation and our brazen, careless self out in the real world or on social media? Does the all-knowing creator of the universe not see those things? Does he turn a blind eye to them? Does humility and love and forgiveness only count when it is done in front of others? We have to look inward. We have to ask ourselves, are our intentions pure? And God bless the person who realizes that their intentions aren't pure. That's the first step. Are our intentions in prayer pure? Are our intentions at work pure? In church? I will tell you that oftentimes it's easier to stand at the altar and pray than to stand at home alone in the morning and pray. I'm sure it's the same for many of us in this regard. It's easy to pray at church. It's hard to pray alone at home. Why is that? Well, aside from all the distractions that the morning brings, and aside from the fact that we need to intentionally make a place of holiness in our house like a prayer corner, it's in part because nobody is watching us, right? Or so we may think. Our priorities are flipped. Our intentions to what we attend or devote ourselves to are flipped. That's why Christ ends this passage with, "But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well." Do I love to be at church because of the approval it brings from others at church? Or do I love to be at church because I love God who deserves to be praised? That's where the road branches off. Do I pray at home because my priest tells me to? Or do I pray at home because I love a God who deserves to be prayed to? Do I forgive my neighbor or my spouse or my children because it makes me feel good? Or do I forgive my neighbor, spouse, or children because Christ died for us yet while we were still sinners? If we look deeply within ourselves, we may notice that the two may be a bit muddled. So may we pray for a pure devotion to God. People are always asking me how to get better at prayer, how to be better at praying. And I've given various answers over my 11 long months of being a priest. Different techniques and so on, right? And some of the things I've said have probably been helpful, and maybe some of them have been less helpful. But they don't get to the root of the problem. And some of us may not like this answer. But if you want to get better at praying, if you want to get better at following the commandments or fasting or anything in the life of a Christian, then simply learn to love God. Learn to love God. Love for God is the only fuel that can feed prayer and fasting and so on. Nothing else works long term. This is the master we are to serve. This is the light that enlightens the body. This is the perfect and proper intention for prayer, the perfect and proper form of devotion. Learn to love God. Read your Bible. It will tell you about Him. The Bible is the life of two different things. It is about the life of humanity as a whole, and it is about the life of God. Don't read it as the life of humanity only. Read it as a life of God as well. Read it as a biography of God. What is He doing and why? And it will make so much more sense. Learn to love God. It doesn't mean that everything you do will be successful. Far be it. But what it does mean is that the things that you do with a purity and love towards God will be good. You may not be the best lawyer, but you will be an honest and good lawyer. You may not be the best teacher, but you will be a godly and good teacher. You may not be the best parent, but you can be a loving and forgiving parent. The whole world can go to hell around you, and with the pure love of God, you can feel as if you are walking in paradise. So pray for this purity of mind and intention. Be intent on learning to love God and instilling this love in your children. If everyone acted this way, the world would still be an imperfect place, but it would be a beautiful place. There would still be accidents in this world. There would still be misunderstandings. But there would also be an overabundance of love and forgiveness. I once heard a priest say that paradise is open to us even here on earth. And you can walk within it every day of your life. All you have to do is forgive all and ask forgiveness from all. This is only possible with an undivided devotion and love towards God. So may our love of God be our pure intention. May it be our single devotion. That's my single prayer for us all this week. Purity of intention. Seeking out God first, loving Him, or at least wanting to love Him before all else. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.